The sun is going down, but there's no better time to hit the links. This is Global Golf Radio, presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company with Ned.
It's like leap year, right?
Whatever
leap year, you have a Valentine's. Just kidding. Love you. Happy Valentine's Day. Global Golf Radio, Ned Michaels, Barney Allery. It is good to be back.
I know. Man. It's been several weeks.
I'm going to be here for 1 week and then I'm gone again.
That's right.
Holding down the fort. That's right. Are the fort now. You're not holding it down. Barney Allery is the fort. He's also the director of instruction out at Old Hickory. You need a lesson, he's your man. For show. Again, 615-737-1045. We have to do it. We just have to. We are going to discuss this Matt Kuchar caddy situation.
Yes.
If you haven't heard, stick around. We'll tell you what happened, what's the latest, and what do we think. We're still trying to determine if they're playing golf in Los Angeles. According to some news outlets, they watched the first fresh tomorrow. But yet the PGA Tour leaderboard at PGAtour.com doesn't indicate that the round has been canceled and they're starting new. So anyway, I have a story about that. Phil Mickelson wins.
Yes.
Big time win. Last round, did you see it coming over Paul Casey? And then, who knows? A little shut your mouth.
That's right.
And definitely for the year, sadly. But man, am I stupid. Incredible. 615-737-1045. If you have an I'm so stupid or a shut your mouth, feel free to call in at any time, whenever you want. I did do Valentine's Day right today. It took my wife shopping, and then we had lunch.
Oh, very nice.
So I'm good.
Very nice.
And you?
I actually bought flowers and a balloon. So I was driving in and around Middle Tennessee with this balloon and flowers and stuff. But then finally, I tricked my wife, and she works at the YMCA in Springfield. And so I put them in her car. I thought about bringing them into the building, but didn't want to make a big scene and stuff, so I kind of put them in the cars for
the way.
So this balloon, as a matter of fact, so I go to open the door, right? And this gust of wind comes in.
You've got the anchor on it, though, right?
Anchor. That little molecular little piece of plastic that's not clipped to anything. And like a ninja, I'm telling you, I swiped that balloon because that thing was fixing to fly somewhere into Robertson. It's almost like when I open the door, it's like the balloon set loose. And I mean, this thing was ready to shoot and rocket out of the car, and it did. And somehow, fast like a cat reflexes, I caught that thing.
Nothing will make a kid cry faster than a balloon being let go. But as an adult, it still is in a frustrating experience. It's Valentine's Day.
No, I would have looked at it like, that's just my luck.
Now, did she do anything for you?
Yes, she wrote me a very nice little note this morning. Yes.
Because my wife brought donuts. And there's a bigger story to this.
And I know the rest of the story.
She brought donuts this morning. Strawberry, chocolate, and glazed. We have two kids. So if you're a listener to the show, Global Golf Radio, you know that Barney, every year he makes a pilgrimage.
May West. So they're these kind of cakes. So picture like a white cake that then's all wrapped with gorgeous chocolate. And there's some kind of like a filling. Yeah, magic filling between the two cakes that, again, the whole thing is all doused in chocolate. It's wonderful.
It's delicious.
It's delicious.
So Barney brings me back the box, and I think there's six of them in there. And
right.
I hide it because this is like special occasion.
That's right.
Treat myself to one of these. Well, I come back from being on the road for almost 3 weeks, and the kids have found them.
Uh-oh.
Barney, I'm talking third shelf behind something that would never, like some crock pot that never gets used. They find them.
Makes you wonder, what in the world were they looking for?
So all I got is like an empty box with one left. So I got a little revenge and ate all the chocolate donuts.
Just
before we get in, the Kuchar thing is probably what everybody wants to talk about. Let's start with this Matt Kuchar thing. All right, if you haven't been paying attention, here's the deal. Matt Kuchar wins this season, but last year.
Yep.
Down in Mexico.
That's right. Mayakoba.
And he's got a caddy that he's hired at the beginning of the week.
Yep.
Whose nickname is El Toucan.
That's right.
Okay, so he's got El Toucan on the winner. He wins almost $1.3 million. It's like $1.27 or something. We're going to call it $1.3 just to put a little extra mustard on the story. $1.3 million.
Yep.
Okay? Everybody's happy. Kuchar wins. Local caddy gets the win also. El Toucan. And that's all we hear about it. until it starts bubbling up on his name. Tom Gillis was the first one to say Matt Kuchar only paid his caddy $3,000.
Yep.
Kuchar's asked about it. He said it wasn't $3,000, but it wasn't 10%.
Yep.
10% is the traditional amount that you pay the winning caddy. $1 million, we're going to round it off to $100,000.
And as far as Kuchar was concerned, he was more than happy to let it be, and it's right. not a story, and let's turn the page and move on.
So eventually, El Toucan is contacted.
Yep.
He releases emails that he was paid $5,000. And he reaches out to Kuchar's agent.
Yep.
And Kuchar's agent responds, and basically Toucan says, hey, I feel like I've been taken advantage of a little bit. I'd like fair payment. Kuchar makes an offer of $15,000.
An additional $15,000.
An additional $15,000. Toucan says, no, that I still don't feel like that's fair.
Yeah.
And the agent says, I'm out of the country. This is the email from the agent. Says, I'm out of the country. The offer is fair. Toucan turns it down.
Yeah.
So now at the Genesis Open out in Los Angeles, Matt Kuchar is asked about it again.
Yes.
And to my surprise, because I know Matt Kuchar well? Used to. Played a lot of golf with him when we were in college. I know him now as kind of a media player relationship. When I see him off the golf course, always a nice hello, how you doing, how's the family? I know him to be an extremely nice guy. Very honest guy, very upfront guy. He's not one of the players who has a reputation as being frugal on tour. So this surprised me. He dug in, Barney. He dug in and said, I'm happy. I think this is a fair deal. This was the deal that we had at the beginning of the week.
This has suddenly turned into a big enough story. You want to know how big a story it is? It made it to ESPN, that big a story. They squeezed the story between, again, can we yeah. talk a little more about the NBA and LeBron? So that's a big enough story that ESPN picked up on it. But instead, so Matt Kuchar, the more that he tries to justify and rationalize, the worse he looks when he says, and I quote, making $5,000 a week is a great week, says the guy who made $1.3 million. He also says, as far as he's concerned, it was fair and good. And I do believe when he says that as far as he's concerned, he has not lost any sleep. So as far as the caddy's concerned, as I understand it, there was going to be a base $3,000
right.
plus percentages based on performance. He wins the cotton picking thing. And the percentage on the performance is an additional two. And we talked about at the time that I was thinking one of two things. I was going to give Kuchar the benefit of the doubt.
Mm.
That I was thinking one of two things. That either one, $2,000 in cash is all the money he has on hand. And look, pal, this is just all that I have. And then two, I was also going to give him the benefit of the doubt that I was sitting there thinking, if he tells the public this cat made six figures, his whole family is right. going to get kidnapped for ransom. But come to find out, no. And so anyhow, let me put it to you this way. Picture you've been eating ramen noodles in your apartment for 4 years. And finally you decide, I'm going to have a steak tonight. We're eating steak. We're going to go out and eat. And it's the best steak you've had in 4 years. It's the best meal you've had in 4 years. And your waiter, he is awesome. The second you need anything, he's right there. He's there with the bread. He's there with the wine. He's there with the drinks. Great service. Fantastic. The bill comes out, $100. Oh, your tummy's all full of love and steak. And you walk away and it's like, pal, thanks, man. Here's 50 cents. And you know what? You were such a good waiter. I'll toss in an extra quarter. I'll give you 75 cents. Because Kuchar's, the caddy's 5,000. That's not even 1% of what Kuchar won. So imagine going to the steakhouse, $100 bill, you're going to give it, you won't even give the guy a dollar. And I'm telling you, Kuchar, for a guy who's made over $40 million in his lifetime, probably over $100 million between corporate, hey, and again, don't get me on the Skechers now. The Skechers looks bad. Everyone associated with Kuchar now looks bad.
He needs to think about this. He does.
And so I'm telling you, Kuchar, you're not looking good in this.
See, I have two schools of thought. One, I agree with you. Actually, I have three schools of thought. What in the world is his agent doing? This should never been an issue. The agent should have said, Matt, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pay this guy. We're going to give him maybe not 10%, but we're going to give him 50,000.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to give him something.
Yeah.
to make him happy. And if you go back and play that event, which he probably will not, even though he's the defending champion, you're going to have him as your caddy again. Like it or not, because we need to put a good face on this thing.
Oh, yeah.
We need you to look like the hero in this thing. So his agent to me is, what are you doing? He's got a great agent, big time agent. So that's number one. Number two, the corporate side of it. If you're Skechers, you're kind of saying, wait a minute. This is coming back on us.
Yes.
Somehow. And this is a story that doesn't go away. Because if Matt Kuchar wins again, somebody's, of course, going to joke and tweet about, well, is Matt Kuchar going to pay Toucan? He's won $7 million this year, and he only paid the guy $5 million. So this story doesn't go away. This story, the only person who can make it go away is Matt Kuchar. Now, let me flip the coin. Because as I told you before, playing in the European Tour, playing on the Asian Tour, there were times where we took local caddies who didn't speak English. And the deal was the deal. At the beginning of the week, here's what I'm going to pay you. I'll pay you half now, and I'll pay you half at the end. Regardless of how you finished, that was the deal. End of story, period. And if you won or you had a top 10, you might give them a little bump, but it wasn't much. And that was commonplace. I'm telling, I mean, every week, local caddy, guy who wins, I'm going to pay you $1,000. Maybe you give him $1,200 if you win. That's it. End of story. The difference is the optics, which I don't know if it's different enough. The optics are Matt won $1.3 million, and he's made all this money in his career. So morally, you think, well, he should pay this El Toucan. But hey, a deal's a deal, regardless of how it performs, right? If you are a recording artist and I am the label, we have a deal at the beginning. And if you go out and your album goes triple platinum and you sell a ton of records, whatever we set up at the beginning was what we set up at the beginning. And you hear about it all the time. First record for a rookie recording artist, they get hosed, period, for the most part. It's changing now. But they typically make their money on the second and third album. It's not all that different. El Toucan was so happy. You know he was happy to have Kuchar's bag at the beginning of the week. If you went back right now and you said, you want Kuchar's bag? He'd say, of course I want Kuchar's bag. So this is it's a slippery slope that you can't be too quick to say, Matt Kuchar, you didn't do right here.
But you would think that Kuchar, who hadn't won in 4 years, can recognize that I have an opportunity to change not only this man's life, this man's family's life. And again, and just the happiness and the joy, because I can also make the argument, because some people out there are sitting there going, well, how much did he really help him? And so that again, guess what? He hadn't won without him in 4 years.
The other part of the equation that I don't understand, and this is where you know that somebody got into his ear, which I think wasn't helpful. Toucan turned down $15,000. So now Kuchar's just out of principle, like, forget it. Forget it. I thought I made a pretty good offer. You didn't take it. Forget it. Now I'm dug in.
If I'm Toucan, I'm sitting there going, I'll take your 15, and I'm still waiting on the other 30. But in the meantime, this to me is becoming a big enough story. If Kuchar's not careful, he's going to turn into a verb. Because if let's say me and you have a bet, and I'm going to win 30 bucks on you, and you give me $5, I might sit there and go, don't you Kuchar me now. Don't be Kuchar-ing me. Don't Kuchar me. Are you Kuchar-ing me? I think you're Kuchar-ing me now.
You might be right.
And you'll know, and decades from now, you'll know if someone's a true golfer, they'll know exactly what you're talking about. And then, also, did anyone happen to notice where the tournament is next week on the schedule? It's in Mexico. Can't wait to see how that's going to go. Anyone bother to notice that? And also, another quick little thing, the happiest guy, you want to know the happiest guys out of this whole story? Sergio Garcia.
Oh, Sergio Garcia.
Who has an absolute meltdown in Saudi Arabia, and he's more than happy to, hey, Todd Lewis, why don't you go talk to Matt Kuchar, see how he's doing.
Do you think that Matt Kuchar is the only person who can make this story go away?
Yes.
If he pays, and what would be appropriate? In your mind, this story is no longer a story if Matt Kuchar pays El Toucan X number of dollars.
Quite honestly, I think 50 is more than reasonable.
5-0.
Get me to 50, and you know what? As far as I'm concerned, I'll be happy to leave you alone.
You think
the argument that he might not be worthy of the 10%. That's not like his caddy flew out from Albuquerque or something like that to go out there and take the risk. He might miss the cut, whatever, even though I'm sure the caddy's on has a base salary.
But nonetheless, the I understand maybe not the full 10%, but I think 50, we can start at least 50.
You think he does it?
At this point, I don't know.
He's dug in.
Unless Skechers turns in and says, look, pal, we're getting a lot of tweets say no more Skechers. We're not buying Skechers ever.
I'm just disappointed it's a story. Because Matt Kuchar, I know, is a terrific guy. He's great for the tour. The fans love him. Wonderful corporate endorser. I don't know. That's the hard part, is we really don't know. But we're learning more. I mean, when the L2 can.
There's no way. And so, again, if he wins $12,000 and gives him five, you're the most generous guy in the world. You win 1.3, you haven't won in 4 years, and you win 1.3.
Well, that actually is a good point.
The guy five?
What if he's won twice this year, Kuchar has. What if this were the second win? Do you think he pays him 10%? Because he hadn't won in 4 years. So maybe in the back of his mind, he's being frugal. He's being smart. Right? Because professional athlete, it's a fickle animal, man.
In my mind, he stole from him, point blank.
That's pretty bold. I mean, they made a deal. He had a deal. This is the deal. We stuck to the deal.
The first job I ever had, the first real job I ever had, my boss, on the first day, he would tell you 12 times a day, let your conscience be your guide.
But we had a deal.
Ned, in the joy and happiness of winning and sharing it with this man, and as a full-grown adult and as a father, to realize this guy comes from a poverty-stricken country and so forth, I have an opportunity. This guy just won his lottery ticket. And you know what? No.
For all I know, El Toucan might be the richest man in Mayakoba. He just loves the caddy. I don't know what his financial situation is.
I think his grandkids could have used the money.
I just hate that it's a story because there's so many good things happening in golf. You know where else good things happen? Elite Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Center. Barney, my right hip has gotten like all these knots in it. It's every time I sit down, it feels like it's cramping. So I'm going to go get dry needled. If you've never been dry needled, it's not as bad as it sounds. It's actually one of those things that once you do it, you're like, oh, man, that was worth it. If you have those knots, right, everybody knows you've got those knots. They put a needle, it goes beyond the skin, it actually goes into the muscle bed. And they kind of tweak it around, and you can feel the knot go, and then it disappears. And you go from feeling tight to, oh, my gosh, now I can move. It's not painful. It's not comfortable. But they make it work. And the fact that you walk in kind of tight and jacked up and you walk out like, whew, I'm going to go run a mile. Elite Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Center. 615-324-1600, Nashville, Franklin, Lebanon. Good people over there. Treat you like a tour pro. When we come back, then we'll talk about Phil Mickelson. Fair enough?
Yep.
Global Golf Radio.
Bravo! Well done! That is our producer, Ryan Albanese. Not Ryan A. Mudd. If it was Ryan A. Mudd, he'd press that button somewhere in the middle of the segment. But well done, Ryan. Well done.
He's out there sending this video and song to some lucky lady.
Oh, that's it. Well, it is Valentine's then again. But that's another story for another time and place. But well done, Ryan.
Don't need no money. That's a great song. 615-737-1045. Global Golf Radio. He's Barney. I'm Ned. We are talking about golf. Let's talk about Phil Mickelson. Did you see him winning last week at Pebble? Did you have that? Did you pick it?
Well, do you know what? I don't know that I necessarily saw him winning, but Paul Casey with the three-shot lead. This thing ain't over.
No.
This thing is not over. And in case you missed it, the turning point in the round happens to be on number 9, which, again, Pebble Beach is so gorgeous and beautiful. But in case you missed it, Phil Mickelson hits this shot on number 9 that goes behind the flag and spins back to like a foot, so he makes birdie. Casey, as I recall, it was maybe about 15 feet away, makes par. So now Phil gets a stroke up there. Then they get on 10, and Mickelson hits a shot maybe about 12 feet past the hole and makes that putt. I think Casey makes another par. So now Mickelson gets him. Mickelson now all of a sudden has one stroke, and now he's two strokes in the last two holes. But where the turning point in the match is on 11, as I recall it, is let's say about a somewhat a kind of a short par four by PGA Tour standards, probably 389 up a hill a little bit. And Phil, who's going to blast driver, actually misses the fairway by what looks like 30, 40 yards. But Casey is going to, quote-unquote, play smart, hits a three-wood, and pushes it about 3 feet into the rough. And from there, and now Mickelson's like 20, 30 yards in front of him. And Casey, out of the rough, hits this shot that I think hits the TV tower, basically, right over the green, makes bogey. That Phil only has to slash a sand wedge out of there. Now Phil gets another stroke up on him. And then on 12, Phil, I think Phil makes another par, and I think Casey makes another bogey. Now, don't look now. But Phil, all of a sudden, has gained 4 strokes in the last 4 holes, and you've got this funny feeling that, Paul, hate to tell you, pal, you ain't winning this thing.
Can I tell you where I saw it change? Because I was working for CBS or DirecTV. We were covering holes 7, 17, and 18 on this 4K, the new technology, the new HD. Mickelson hit, I'm up on 7. It was a brutal day to begin with, right? They had the hail,
wind, rain.
It was cold. Toboggan cap, gloves, couple of jackets, and a sweater or two, kind of cold. But you know, when you stand on a short par three, especially one like 7 that's elevated above the sea, everybody's hitting little punch shots. And it's for the most part, it's coming out of the same window, and meaning that the trajectory of everybody's is relatively close. There might be some higher or lower, but it's all within the same window frame. Mickelson hits this sand wedge. It came out of the front door. It was so low. Just, the wind didn't even seem to touch it. And it landed on the back edge of the bunker on the front of the green. And it took a huge bounce. And it ends up 12 feet from the hole, pin high. Cool shot. But I'm sitting there watching and going, what in the world was that? And I said on air, that's going to throw Paul Casey off. That is going to mentally absolutely flip the switch, because now he doesn't know what to hit. He just saw Mickelson's knife through the air. This, watch what's going to happen here. And sure enough, he clunked, toe, chunk, pulled, whatever it was, into the left bunker. It like one hopped. It
That's
limped
right. That's
into the
right.
Front
That's
bunker.
Right. Yep.
Now, he made a wonderful up and down. He made the 8-footer for par. It looked effortless, the putt. But you could see that shot. It was,
rattled him.
Everything was good, and then all of a sudden it was like the shock collar went off. And, of course, I don't see what's happening because we're just covering those holes. So I don't see, I hear, but I don't see what happens on 8, 9, 10. So it's interesting to hear you recount exactly how it went down. But it was, in my opinion, from 7, that was the moment of all of a sudden the electricity's in his fingers. And to hear it on 10, 11, 12 came unraveled.
Because as I recall it, when they're standing on 9T, I'm not going to say that it's a done deal that Casey's going to win, but... You know, by all accounts, he has the tournament well in hand and stuff, and everything's kind of coasting along until all of a sudden he gets a stroke. Next hole gets Phil gets another stroke. Next hole gets another stroke. And then I want to say it was on 13 that Phil hits this cutest little punchy, chippy little cut shot to back left flag. And I'm telling you, my friend Paul Powers in Clarksville, I text him immediately. There's not a 20-year-old or a player in their 20s that would ever pull that shot off or even know to pull that shot off. Because you know good and well that, you know, when you're nervous, everyone says, you know, make a full swing. He hits this little chippy, like two clubs too many, and just driving little punchy shot that runs all the way back to the flag to like 5 feet past the flag, and then he drops the putt. And then I want to say that the next hole's the par five. He hits another great shot there.
Have you heard the story about that shot? So his brother, Tim Mickelson, was on, I think it was Between the Ropes. Don't quote me on that, the Carlsons. So I can't remember the yardage, but whatever the yardage was, it was probably like a stock 9-iron. Well, Mickelson picks 6-iron. And Tim, his brother, who's also his caddy, and again, I heard this on the Paulson show, I believe Between the Ropes, this morning. I want to give them credit for it because they had Tim on. He's and the caddies will give the clubs via hand signals to the spotters so the television, the broadcast knows what club they're hitting. And everything starts with 5-iron, okay? So if it's a 5-iron, you just kind of give a wash or you give a 5. If you want to show an 8, instead of having to use both your hands, you just take 3 fingers upside down. So that's 5 minus 3, so he's got an 8-iron. And Tim says, I know if I give a -1, so 5 minus 1. If I show that he's got a 6-iron, they're not going to believe me because this is typically a 9-iron. So I gave him an 8-iron. I told him he was in the 8-iron, even though he had 6-iron in his hand. So Mickelson pulls off, goes back, and gets a 7-iron. So now Tim's like, well, what am I going to do? Because I already told him it was an 8. So now he gives him the real sign. It's a 7-iron, and sure enough, Mickelson clips this little 7-iron in there. But his original thought, Barney, was 6-iron.
But I can tell you that, again, the pro tracer makes such a big difference in watching it. And so when they have this little red streak, and, I mean, this thing didn't look like it got more than 30 feet up in the air, curved about 5-10 yards to the left. And, again, because I think that had he hit a normal shot, it probably would have hit short and then spun back.
Right.
But instead it kicks maybe, it hits the ground maybe about 10 yards short of the flag, and it tumbles a little bit past the hole. And when it's all said and done, Mickelson shoots a 65 to start the tournament, shoots a bogey-free 65 to finish the tournament, and that's with also missing the putt that he had to finish the last two holes. Mm. That he hit such a great shot on 17. It could have been a 64 easy.
This is where my shut your mouth comes in. That's next, Global Golf Radio.
Ryan Alvarez. Wow, bravo. I'm assuming that this was decades before you were born. Decades. Congratulations, bravo. It's remarkable that such a young man actually even knows that this song existed.
I have no idea what song that is.
Oh, you. He's Ned Michaels. Ryan Albanese, who picked the song, congratulations. And Ned Michaels evidently doesn't know what the song is, but he has a shut your mouth or I am so stupid.
Is that Honey Honey? Is that what it's called? 615-737-1045. If you know that song, call us. Okay, I've got both.
Let's do it.
The shut your mouth. If you didn't see it last week at Pebble Beach, the weather was incredibly poor. I'm out there head to toe, rain gear, 4 sweaters. But the rain, it's that kind of rain that's like it's like ants. It doesn't matter how buttoned up you get, rain always finds its way in, like right around your collar. And next thing you know, it's like dripping down your back and it's cold. Anyhow, so they had to suspend play. They almost got everybody in except for the final group of Mickelson and Paul Casey. Tim Mickelson comes racing off of 16 green to 17 tee. They're playing. In the meantime, the tour official is talking with Paul and Phil, and Paul Casey's got tees in the ground on the green on 16. As far as he's concerned, I'm done. I cannot see anything. Mickelson says, I've got 20/80 vision. I can see perfect. Let's keep going. Shut your mouth. What are you talking about? You ain't got no 20/80 vision. Shut your mouth. So I'm sitting there going, but here I asked a rules official. This was interesting because I did not know this. Phil Mickelson could have finished, because you have to have, like, his amateur partner had teed off.
Yep.
Because it's not a dangerous situation. It's just dark.
Right.
But as long as somebody's teed off on the hole, you can finish it. So if their amateur partner had teed off on 17, then they could have played it. The only thing, Phil could have played it, but his marker, who in this case is Paul Casey, has to walk the hole with him to confirm that he got the score, that whatever he says he got, he got. So if Mickelson had wanted to play, in theory, he could have, but Paul Casey would have had to walk with him.
Yeah.
I thought they both did the right thing. If I'm Phil Mickelson and I'm playing great, let's go. I'll play the last two holes in the dark. I got it. I've played this course a bazillion times. I don't need to see anything.
Well, I guarantee you that most of the people watching have also forgotten. Do you remember the swift kick in the rear end that Ricky Fowler and Phil Mickelson both got on 18 in Valhalla in the PGA Championship in 2014.
When the PGA
is bound and determined, we are finishing this thing right now, and Rory McIlroy winds up winning the thing.
Yeah.
And to ask the two players to step out of the way.
No way.
It was amazing.
No, it's easy to say no way. I've never been in that situation in any tournament that I've ever played in, especially a major. But if I'm Phil Mickelson, now Phil gets it. He understands if they have to go another day, it's incredibly expensive for the television companies, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
You got to bring the volunteers back. It's a massive undertaking to go another day.
Yep.
So Phil gets it. And to his credit, he did step aside. But just from a competitive standpoint, No. He's going to stand back there on the tee box like I had to. Because remember, Phil was on the tee for a long while. And didn't hit a great drive.
And don't forget the time that the Tiger Woods at Firestone, when it is pitch dark. It's like they're playing right now. And they still nonetheless finished. But here's my shut your mouth.
Okay.
Bernhard Langer. Did anyone happen to notice that he won again?
Again.
And one of his little secrets in how to win, he had one bogey in 54 holes. Go figure he leads the field in that little category. But that's not the shut your mouth. Because it was revealed that it's his 39th win. Okay, I knew that. But here's what I didn't know. Would you believe me if I told you?
No.
If I got it right. Now, bear in mind, he's been doing this now, what, for 12 years? At least 12 years, right? His Champions Tour career, he's won 39 times. That is 21 times more than the amount of times he's finished outside the top 25. 18 times in his Champions Tour career that he's finished 26th or worse. Now, Ned, I was told there wouldn't be any math. However, 18 times in a 12-year career, that means he's good for once a year to finish outside the top 25, and then in odd or even years, twice a year. Shut your mouth. You got to be kidding me.
I will shut my mouth. That is insane.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
I'm so stupid, slept through my flight on the way home. Had the 6 a.m.er out of Monterey. Woke up at 5:25. Missed my flight.
No, you did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, how you doing? I am so stupid.
You're a beauty.
It worked out. Had to drive to San Jose and catch one, but that's not the call you want to have to make.
But at least your hair looks perfect.
It probably needed some help when I woke up at 5:25 and I'm trying to get everything organized and get out the door, and I realized not going to happen. But I'm working an event in Palm Springs next week. I'm going to be with my family. So mom and dad, got to look good when you're going to see your folks. I'm going to Uncle Classic Barbershop this week, and I can make the appointment if I needed to right now online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, UncleClassicBarbershop.com. That's my barbershop. Let's hit the phone lines real quick. We're going to have Joe Hall with us when we come back. That's on the flip side of the break for the Nashville Golf Show. But let's throw it out to Kelly in Chapel Hill. How you doing, Kelly?
Hey, well, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. Real quick, the other thing I heard reported about the darkness situation is that winning the Pro-Am is a big deal for these amateurs.
Right.
And Paul Casey and his amateur were in line to win that. And according to some of the reports I heard, Paul Casey took that into consideration when he said, look, I'm done. My guy has a chance to win this. It's a big deal. I don't think we need to play. And I think that was part of what he considered. I'll hang up and listen, boys. Great show.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for calling, and always appreciate you being part of the show. Here's what I know. I called Scott Piercy's group. They were in group in front of them. As they were coming up 18, Mickelson and Casey, they're deciding what they're going to do. There were four groups on 18 because everybody was trying to get done. I'm standing with Scott Piercy. Couldn't have been more than 100 yards away. Couldn't see the flag.
Really?
Could not see the flag. There was a big scoreboard behind the green that if the light, you know, and it switches from one score to another or from player's face to the place. If you got the right light, you could have seen it. I mean, you knew where it is. You had your whole location sheet, your pin sheet. Could not see the flag. So it was dark. But Paul Casey did the right thing, too. If you're reeling and the other guy has momentum,
oh yeah,
I'm putting the brakes on this baby.
Oh, yeah.
So I did question at the beginning of the day, hey, listen, we got to scratch the amateurs. Because we can get this thing done if we just say, amateurs, good work, congratulations, you're out. But it's so important to this event that they didn't do it.
Right.
They kept him in there.
Right.
That shows you how important it is. And this has always been the DNA of this tournament. It is the Crosby
Absolutely.
Clam Bake.
Yeah.
So kudos to them. Anyway, we're going to sign off for a minute. We're going to come back with Joe Hall, Nashville Golf Show. If you love golf, even if you like golf, you're not going to want to miss this weekend. All right.
I had to do it.
Right? Yes, you did. Ryan Albanese, bravo. Bravo. Well done. Surely to goodness, Ned knows what that is.
That's the Titanic, and that's what they need right now out in Los Angeles for all the rain that came down at Riviera.
Well, if they had any problems with their heating and air or their plumbing needs, what they should do is call Hers and His. Mm-hmm. In Nashville, that's what you should do as well. Also, that hers and his cares very much about the safety of their customers, and consequently got letter vehicles and uniform plumbers. That's hers and his. You can find them at 615-254-5750. That's 615-254-5750. You can also find them online at www.hersandhis.com. And how much confidence does Ned Michaels have in hers and his? He sent it to his mother-in-law. He sent it to his neighbor. That's confidence. That's hers and his.
And that's the truth.
And that is the truth. And now joining us to tell us a little more truth is Joe Hall, who is the backbone behind the Nashville Golf Show. He's going to tell us all about it. Joe, welcome in.
Thank you, Barney. Thank you, Ned. I enjoy your show. I enjoy your take on the Matt Kuchar and story. It's unbelievable, but I do appreciate it. And for all those guys and gals out there listening, I'm going to tell them about an opportunity they don't even know about right now. Folks, I'm talking to two of the MCs for the Nashville Golf Show.
That's true. That's right.
Ned has been with us since the start, does a great job. So Barney Owry is going to be our MC on Sunday. So please come, get a ticket. You can go all 3 days, see both of them, your personalities. You know that, don't you?
Well, I think we're going to do, like we did last year, a mock radio show.
That's right.
On stage. So if you enjoy the show, come on out. That is a reason to come. But, there is a long list of reasons to come out to the Nashville Golf Show this year.
You know, I'm telling you guys, this is our third year. I've been out there at the fairgrounds, and I've got to give a big shout-out for the fairgrounds, their people. I'm telling you, if you came downtown last year and got frustrated, believe me, you're going to come to this show and say, man, this is awesome. $5 parking. You don't take any elevators, escalators, stairs to walk into the entrance. I mean, it's going to be awesome. We've got something for everyone. I'm talking kids. The first tee program is there. Tips from the pros. Prizes. We got prizes. I mean, just unbelievable. And our stage performance. We've got some great people on stage. It's just, I'm so excited. This is absolutely the best so far.
Some of the giveaways are outrageous. Mississippi always does something nice.
I'm telling you, the Visit Mississippi people, they will have a wonderful prize. We've got some stay-and-play packages like Tansy. We've got Riverwatch. We've got Sun Mountain products. We've got balls. I mean, it's loaded. We've got a contest. We've got putting contest, chipping contest. We've got this game called a scratch off, and I mean, you've got to come.
So, Joe, speaking of Mississippi, that's where myself, Ned Michaels, and Bob Muir like to go. And can you blame us when they've got world class seafood, chicken. They've also got sports betting. I think we're going to have a little March Madness. We're going out there. They've got beautiful golf courses like Mossy Oak, Old Waverly, Falling Oak, and Dancing Rabbit. And all you have to do, folks, is go to visitmississippi.org, or they're going to have one of the booths at the National Golf Show.
You don't have to go to them. They're coming to us.
That's right.
It is. I talked to Mark Powell this afternoon. He is the director of golf at the Dancing Rabbit. Can't wait to come up. I mean, and for anybody that takes golf trips, you've got to come to the show because, look, we have golf courses from Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Louisiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, and North Carolina.
So, Joe, one of the questions I've been asked quite a bit is my opportunity of getting to hit different golf clubs.
We will have two major vendors that will have every type of club there. We will have Doug Shirky with Callaway talking about the new products for the Callaway for this year. Mizuno will be there. Titleist Ball Fitting will be there. Fun will be Top Golf. They're there. Golf Tech will be there setting up. They have their simulator. I mean, it truly is just going to be something for everyone.
And another question I've been asked by several people as well is having the opportunity of buying different things out there as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you do need to bring your debit card, credit card, cash. They will take cash because nearly all the vendors are offering some sort of discount on their product or service. Boswell Golf Carts, they've got probably 15 golf carts there, and they have some show specials, everything from just the regular golf cart to utility vehicles. We've got something in store you want to stay tuned for. There's a big ball game coming up Saturday night at 7 o'clock, right? We are probably going to have a watch party inside on a super big TV screen. I'm talking super big.
Nice.
What, yeah. All right, what game?
That happened to be a little east in Knoxville called UT against a northern team up in Kentucky in Lexington. So it's going to be a showdown.
It's a football game. They stopped playing football over at UT. I'm sorry about that.
And they stopped playing basketball at Vanderbilt. But, Joe, go on. Tell us more. Tell us more all about right. the show.
Okay, look. Here's another thing, too. We've had a program going where if you buy a ticket, you get a round of golf free at one of six golf facilities, okay? It was while the supplies last, and I'm telling you, the supplies are going fast. There's not many left. I suspect that we're going to cut them off by tomorrow noonish, and I'm just talking about not the ticket sales, but I'm talking about the golf with your ticket purchase. So
this is what you call a no-brainer, people.
Absolutely.
You get into the show and you get free golf.
Right.
Okay, so it's easy.
And a chance to win a lot of nice prizes.
And on the stage, by the way, there's going to be all kinds of educational opportunities.
Yes.
And just cool storytelling. But I look, Matt Walter, he's going to be teaching. Barney, he's going to be up there dropping some knowledge on us. He and I are going
to be there
show.
Tomorrow from 3 to 4, I believe. Saturday from 3 to 4, and then MC on Sunday.
Yeah.
And we're going to TPI. I mean, you're going to be able to learn what your body can do in the golf swing.
Golf Tech will be on the stage. Seymour Putter will be on the stage, giving a free putting fitting, and you can win that. And you get a putter along with it. So, and Seymour has a very special promotion going on with a lot of their putters that are unreasonably inexpensive. I'm not going to say cheap because Seymour is not cheap. So they've got just a lot of opportunities to pick up a putter. And Club Champion is going to be on the stage along with, like you said, Matt Walter, Mike Wilson, Craig Ray will be on there Sunday afternoon to talk about their Visit Mississippi a grand winner of their prize. I'm telling you, you need to come and just hang out.
Thanks, Joe. We appreciate it. We'll be there. NashvilleGolfShow.com. You can get your tickets there. And there's a lot of kids' activities, which I appreciate, and my kids will be there for sure on Saturday. If you love golf, check it out. A lot of free goodies. Why wouldn't you? Anyway, NashvilleGolfShow.com. I think that's it.
I think that's it.
That's all we got time for.
Folks, have a great rest of your Valentine's.